This is an I Am Listening podcast.
He's lacking a few key skills that are required to be a prime minister. He's not able to build a coalition, amass political power and take his party with him. He's not able to narrate and tell a story to the public about where the country's going. And these are kind of really important skills for politicians. Your main job is to take very complicated things and to distill them down into a communications narrative and take both other politicians, the media and the public with you. And he's just totally unable to do that.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, with another bite-sized edition of what's going on in the county this week. While the national headlines were focusing on the dismal result for Labour in the local elections around the country, the only such vote held in Kent last week was considerably less dramatic. 15 out of the 39 seats on Tunbridge Wells Borough Council were up for grabs last Thursday, thanks to their system of electing their authority a third at a time, plus the resignation of two councillors. Almost half of those seats were being defended by incumbent Liberal Democrats, who were already running the council as a majority. They were expecting quite a good day, and they got one, successfully defending all seven of their seats which were up, and gaining three, strengthening their hold over the council. Their gains came at the expense of the Conservatives and Labour, as well as regaining one of the seats which had become vacant after one of their own resigned in the months before the election. Reform, who may have been hoping to replace the Conservatives as the party of the villages, were left disappointed. They picked up a respectable number of votes in many seats, but not actually winning any of them. These elections, though, are likely to be the very last ever held for Tunbridge Wells Council, because if all goes to plan, in 2027 the election will instead be for the new unitary authorities, which will fully take effect from 2028. Either way, Tunbridge Wells Liberal Democrats are certain to remain the ones to lead the district into that process. And as the main opposition in Tunbridge and Morling and Sevenoaks, they're well placed to be a major player in any future West Kent Council. In Medway, there was some very sad news of the passing of Councillor Phil Filmer, who served on Medway Council and before that Rochester-upon-Medway City Council for more than 30 years. This week at the annual council, tributes were paid by members from across the chamber, giving credit to Councillor Filmer's passion and dedication to public service. He was first elected in 1991 to Rochester City Council, serving until 1995, and then served continuously on Medway Council from 2000. As a member of a big farming family on the Hoo Peninsula, he served this area for the majority of his time as a councillor, being the member for All Saints and Peninsula wards, before becoming the ward councillor for Cuxton, Halling and Riverside in May 2023. As part of the Conservative administrations, he served as the portfolio holder for frontline services between 2005 and 2023, and had a particular focus on transport and road safety. During that time, we saw the introduction of speed cameras on the A228 after a rise in the number of fatal crashes. He was also a well-known local business owner and a member of the Rochester Bridge Trust, becoming a junior warden in 2017 and senior warden in 2021. Councillor George Perfect, leader of the Conservative group, said, "Councillor Filmer was a dedicated and passionate councillor, committed to not only serving the residents of his ward, but also residents in every part of Medway. During his nearly 25 years service across both the Cabinet and Shadow Cabinet, Councillor Filmer was dedicated to ensuring residents received high quality services from the council whilst a member of the administration and in opposition. Known for his kindness and personable nature, Councillor Filmer will be missed greatly by people across the whole of Medway." Medway Council leader Councillor Vince Maple echoed those thoughts, adding, "Across the political spectrum, Councillor Phil Filmer was both respected and liked in a way which is rare to find. His dedication to local government for both Medway Council and previously Rochester-upon-Medway City Council was clear for all to see as a ward councillor, a member of the opposition or a cabinet member. He will be missed by everyone across the council chamber." Kent County Council has published a report to highlight the severe disruption caused to the tens of thousands of customers affected by water supply outages between November and January. It came in the form of a 25-page inquiry study after consulting residents, public bodies, businesses and the farming sector. Whilst the report cannot be described as scathing, it does bring into the light the overall cost, not just financially, but the effects on people too. The report's publication came at the most appropriate time, just days after the resignation of both South East Water's chief executive and the chairman. KCC carried out what was described as a short-focused inquiry, with broad agreement from all parties. They felt it was right to examine the water company's failures and reflect on the council's performance and what lessons it could learn. So it was not a report from a standard public inquiry, but one seen against the backdrop of KCC's role and that of its partner agencies during the crisis. The report notes that businesses which were forced to shut or curtail their activities lost tens of millions of pounds. The farming sector, particularly livestock operations, is heavily water dependent, and South East Water did not appear to be prepared to deal with those needs. The report says, "The farming sector was disproportionately exposed to the water supply interruptions due to very high daily water requirements, animal welfare and rural access constraints. Emergency provision models were not designed for livestock or agricultural operations, and that bottled water schemes were wholly unsuitable." The report also highlights observations that South East Water's communication with residents and public bodies was overly optimistic and not aligned with operational reality. It also says bottled water stations were poorly sited, with limited accessibility in rural areas, and the distribution model wasn't robust enough. It says alternative water provision arrangements were a significant source of difficulty, and while using bottled water might work for short domestic outages, it did not scale up effectively for multi-day incidents affecting whole communities, rural areas, or institutional settings. The report also notes that education, care, and health critical settings experienced disproportionate disruption, not just because of the uncertainty of when water would return, but as a result of insufficient clarity over safety thresholds. A very common theme was the water company's poor communication on all sorts of levels, although KCC came in for similar criticism by parish councils. An interesting aspect of the report was its broad range of consultees, and that it was not used simply as a tool to bludgeon the water companies. The evidence offered by the people and the public-facing organisations did that for them. There are 8 recommendations concerning communication, training and forward planning. South East Water issued an unreserved apology for what it described as unacceptable outages, stating that we fell short of what is expected of us. We'll all be glad to hear that a 6-month plan of work is underway to help mitigate the chance of similar problems arising in the future. This will include upgrades to pipelines, spare stock levels, and additional capacity.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
And so, to Westminster. At the time of recording, Sir Keir Starmer is still in his job as Prime Minister, but 15 minutes can be a long time in politics, so by the time I sign off from today's episode and emerge from the recording booth, who knows what might have happened. What we do know is that a growing number of Labour MPs are calling for a change of leadership, with Health Secretary Wes Streeting, Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham and former Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner among the names being bandied around as possible challengers. Here in Kent, Gillingham and Raynham MP Nashaba Khan announced she was stepping down from her position as Parliamentary Private Secretary to the Cabinet Office following last week's local election results. She said she was calling for new leadership so that we can rebuild trust and deliver the better future that the British people voted for. Here she is.
This has been an incredibly difficult decision for me. I actually believe that the Prime Minister is a genuinely decent man. And I think that I've got a lot of respect for both what he did to our party in the lead up to that general election, but also in terms of leading us through that election win. And I also recognise the challenging circumstances that we face as a government and what that means, and how that means when you're trying to lead through a very difficult situation. And I also have to say that I'm really impressed by what he's done on the world stage when it's come to some of the challenges we face abroad. However, I think, rightly or wrongly, and we can talk about why it's happened. I'm certainly the media part to play in this, but he has lost the trust of the British public. And unfortunately, I don't think that the position that we have with Keir as our leader is recoverable. And I know that I want to go into the next election, recognising and knowing the challenge we face, which, you know, what I do not want to be doing is handing the keys over to a reform prime minister. Because what I do know is that reform, despite what they say, despite what they pretend to be, they don't care about our communities, and they don't care about communities like mine in Gillingham and Rainham. And it is because of that reflection and everything that I've considered that I took what was a really difficult decision for me. But I believe it's the right one. You know, I've got a 4,000 majority in Gillingham. Who knows if I'll be able to be an MP at the next election or not? The chances are probably not. So for me, this is about being really honest. And I got into politics to deliver that change that our communities need and want. And I do that with my Labour values at my heart, because that's what I believe is right. And that's why I took that decision.
Nashaba's call for a new PM was backed by sitting-born and Sheppey MP Kevin McKenna. He said he was making his views known publicly, as he was not just disappointed but truly angry that the government had chosen not to bring forward legislation to protect children from abuse online at the very earliest possible time. He described that decision as abhorrent. Folkestone and Hythe MP Tony Vaughan also called for an orderly transition. And Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin also feels Sir Keir is lacking what's needed.
I think he's a man of integrity. I think he's clearly, you know, working very hard and trying his best, but he's lacking a few key skills that are required to be a prime minister. He's not able to build a coalition, amass political power and take his party with him. He's not able to narrate and tell a story to the public about where the country's going. And these are kind of really important skills for politicians. Your main job is to take very complicated things and to distill them down into a communications narrative and take both other politicians, the media and the public with you. And he's just totally unable to do that.
Do you think it's more of a personality thing for Keir Starmer than a policy thing?
Well, I think there have been clearly some policy nightmares, right? Like the winter fuel allowance. I think the economic policy is appalling under this government. They've said that they were going to sort out growth, and then they've put loads of taxes up on businesses, for instance. And I speak to the businesses in Tunbridge Wells and my constituency. It's causing real problems. They've had to delay hiring decisions. You know, we've got a huge youth unemployment problem that's basically largely, I would lay at the door of this government's economic strategy. So there are pockets of things that they're doing well, but actually there are lots of things they're not doing very well, and they're not able to tell a story. So it has not been a great government from Labour this time around.
More than 80 Labour MPs have now called for the PM to resign after the party's disastrous local election results last Thursday. However, more than 100 MPs have signed a statement of support backing the PM, including Kent's Lauren Sullivan, Jim Dixon and Tris Osborne. Deal and Dover MP Mike Tapp is also backing the Prime Minister, saying the country needs stability, not another revolving door of leaders.
Let's be really clear about this. There is no leadership contest. There may well be around 80 names, but for a leadership contest to be triggered, it has to be all behind one candidate. That's not happening. It's important that Keir Starmer remains firm, and I'm really pleased to see that he is. And the reason for that is because we've got to serve the country. We've got to put country first. And the only way you do that in government is through stability. He understands the threats we're seeing both internationally and domestically, from Iran to Ukraine to the cost of living and, of course, securing the borders. To deliver on that and to make sure that the policies are formed correctly and delivered to the British people, we need stability to do that. So that's my message today. That's why I'm behind the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer. We're 2 years in. There's 3 years to go. There's a lot of work to do in the Home Office for me and across all departments. So let's get on with it.
That's all from me for this week. Don't forget to head to our page at Kent Online for the latest politics news. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And KMTV's politics show is every Friday at 5 p.m. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.